So it's that willingness to stay with our experience. So, I see a number of you have already done it, but come into sitting posture. Okay, the posture. The posture itself denotes a willingness, an intention. The willingness and intention to approach that experience. The willingness and intention to be with whatever is arising and to be awake and alert and receptive for it. It's an open posture. Which again denotes that willingness to be there for what is arising. So my first suggestion, invitation, is to experience the posture. Experience us sitting here in this slightly strange, artificial way, but denoting an intention, embodying an intention. Your body holds this intention, not just your mind. Gently becoming receptive to the contact we have with our environment at this moment. Now, there's obvious points of contact like our feet with the floor, our legs if we're sitting on the floor, our clothing with our bodies. Seats, our bottoms with our seats, our chairs, our cushions, however we're sitting. Our hands with one another if they're resting in our laps, or just gently resting on our thighs. That gentle warm pressure that we can often feel. So the gentle invitation, and I really emphasize this gentleness of the invitation, is to experience that which often goes unnoticed. Our contact perhaps even with our skin, with the air. The feeling of warmth or coolness that's arising in that contact. And even at this stage, just at the very early beginning stages of a sitting like this, our minds might already have wandered. We notice that our attention has been pulled out to something else, perhaps even at this very early stage, and that's fine. Again, if criticism is noticing that our minds have wandered, soften towards it, turn towards that criticism. Yes, yeah, criticism, that's familiar, you're a familiar friend. And then when we have, in a sense, acknowledged, which is the most basic form perhaps our metta can take, when we've acknowledged what is there, we gently bring ourselves back just to feeling the body and the sensations arising through the contact. It's here at this present moment. Feel the breathing, perhaps the movement, the gradual swelling of the abdomen, and the gradual decline of the abdomen as we breathe in, as we breathe out. Using this as the focus of our awareness. Gently anchoring our awareness in that perception of the movement and the sensations that are associated with the breath as experienced in the abdomen. So we're just gently anchoring ourselves, not desperately holding on, clinging to that experience. We're not, in a sense, trying to, at this stage, stop the mind. If it wanders off, it wanders off. But notice where it's wandered to. Notice what's called for its attention. A sensation. Thought, a feeling, whatever it may be, we turn towards it with acknowledgement. And then bring ourselves back. And gently anchoring ourselves once again. Doing this as many times as we have to do. We're not fighting our minds, turning thoughts into enemies and sensations into enemies. We start to gently befriend our experience and befriend our own minds and bodies. Whatever they're doing, even when we don't want them to do it. So the metta here is not a separate practice, it's that gently acknowledging and turning towards whatever is arising in our experience at this moment. noticing perhaps our tendency to want to push away or hold on to. Gently and kindly leading ourselves back to the sensations of breathing at the abdomen. And again, not controlling that breath. The breath comes as the breath comes, literally breath by breath. Noticing where your mind is. Turning towards it and acknowledging. Don't just pull yourself back immediately to the sensations of breathing. Notice often what is difficult and painful in that experience. We don't run away from it immediately back to the breath, but we again acknowledge, gently acknowledge, pain is here, difficulty is here. But it also might be joy. And rather running away, I might want to stay with it, something pleasurable. just noting every so often whether our posture still holds this intention or embodies this intention to stay gently open and receptive to what is arising in our experience. Gently adjusting it if it's not. Having that willingness to stay with our experience no matter how it unfolds in this period of time, this practice. Okay, so we've just engaged in the most foundational practice of metta. Now you might just think, well, that's just mindfulness of breathing. But notice what's attitudinal about what we've been doing. The kind of invitation that I was offering for you to engage in that practice. Those attitudinal suggestions are ways of inclining your mind to what is it being experienced, and perhaps seeing them in a different way, being able to hold them in a different way. And this is why it's foundational. However, this is what we're going to be doing for the rest of the day, is we can develop metta in a much, much more formalized training way. And at the end of the day, perhaps I'll make some suggestions about how you should, if you've got a regular practice going, how you should drop this into your practice, doing this more formalized way of training. But even if you don't engage in the formalized way, and I don't say every meditation practice appeals to everybody at all, we can still keep coming back to this foundational attitude, a way of being able to build and to acknowledge the importance of that kindness and friendliness within just the basic practices that we engage in. The basic attitudes of befriending what is there. Now, I've used the word acknowledgement because the word befriending might not even occur to a lot of people. It might not even work for people at an early stage, particularly when it's difficult. But in a way, that word acknowledgement captures it. But we don't have to think in big terms, certainly not love, as I've indicated before. But just that gentle movement of acknowledgement. What's here right now, even when it's difficult? Even when it's difficult. Even when I'm telling myself stories about who and what I am and what I can do and what I can't do. And we're always doing that, aren't we?
Yes.
It's one of the great gifts of human beings, we're storytellers. How do we turn them into happy narratives rather than unhappy narratives? Because we often live those unhappy narratives. And it's so strange, isn't it? It's so strange that what we do in those unhappy narratives is search for happiness. The Buddha, in his own time, was very perplexed because there was a tradition some of you might know of, which actually anglicized, we pronounce it as Jainism. It was actually pronounced as Jainism. This Jain tradition used to go through all sorts of penances and austerities, mortification of the body. Literally, people starving themselves to death sometimes to achieve awakening, to achieve happiness. And the Buddha was very perplexed by this. Why are people causing themselves so much pain to gain happiness? Now, okay, we might not do that kind of stuff, but in a way, all that self-laceration that we engage in, because actually the self-laceration we've been taught is to make us into better people. Now, we've almost imbibed that from our social atmospheres. Self-criticism is a good thing. Well, we can't stop it, but we don't have to get hooked into it. We don't have to be pulled into it. And the not being pulled into it is to see the self-criticism, that causing ourselves pain, the unhappy narrative, by holding it in a different way, a way of, there you are. You're a familiar friend, aren't you? Have you ever engaged in that? Oh, here you come again. That's what happens, isn't it? It comes round and round again and again and again. But there's that gentle, gentle acknowledgement of that. You know you've begun to really develop, in some senses, I don't want to keep pushing this word, even at this stage, you know, you know you've begun, the attitude has started to change towards it the moment you can begin to smile at it. To laugh at your own ludicrousness sometimes in doing this. Seeing it again and again and again. As you know, humour sometimes takes that seriousness out of it, doesn't it? So, what we're going to do now, walking meditation. Everybody familiar with walking meditation? Anybody not? That's good. Okay, so we go out on our walking path. And what I want, no different from what you would normally do on any insight meditation day, walking meditation, but just, what I'm going to suggest to you is when your mind wanders, as it will, because we have this wonderful phrase in secular-based mindfulness saying, that's what minds do. They wander. You know, they want to go off and play somewhere else. In other words, they get pulled into something. But when that happens, stop. Notice where it's gone. See if you can soften and open to what's there. Before bringing yourself back, perhaps, to establishing your awareness in your feet or wherever you normally establish it. Even if it's difficult, even if it's painful, stop, acknowledge what's there. What's called for your attention? Is it the beautiful sunshine outside and the breeze in the trees? Or is it that painful thought? That difficulty that won't leave you behind, that anxiety that often is a backdrop to a lot of our experiences. So rather than rejecting, why do we need to make an enemy of thought? I mean, does that ever strike you as a question? Why do we need to make an enemy of ourselves? To that which is occurring virtually all the time, isn't it, thought? Why do we need to make enemies of that? It's to reject often our part of ourselves, who we are at this moment. So this is a welcoming attitude. We're welcoming, in a sense, even the difficult, even the painful, but also the beautiful. I talk about the difficult and the painful, but also the beautiful in its transience. Because it will be there, and then my attention will go somewhere else. I might be captivated by the sunlight on something outside. And then my mind will wander back to anxiety again. Yeah. Does that sound familiar, this sort of stuff? That's what will happen. But notice what's happening. In the sense, out of that metta, we start to create an equilibrium as well. Dare I say an equanimity? That this is the ground, this is the soil for the growth ultimately of an equanimity which allows, not fights. Christina Feldman, who most of you probably know, has this wonderful expression here, but everybody seems when doing meditation seems to be going to work. I'm working on my stuff. I don't think it's a great phrase. You see people with furrowed brows. I'm working on my stuff. Come on, relax a bit. You know, I know that's not usually one of the meditation instructions, but relax a bit too. Don't go to work. Don't make this yet another task to engage in. Move into a gentle acceptance. We'll have time for questions a little bit later. So moving into that gentle acceptance. So, half an hour walking, come back at about 11:40, and then we'll do another sitting session, a slightly shorter sitting session, followed by another meditation, and then we'll break for lunch at 12:30. Does that sound okay?